Paradise Wavering features 17 new and recent works by photographer Alice Hargrave, including Biosphere, a gigantic emerald-hued image of a tropical rainforest on a wall-scale piece of silk, plus a poignant collection of bird calls of species on the cusp of disappearing. Hargrave says she entitled this collection Paradise Wavering because paradise is a mythic thing, something that exists in our minds. But our biological world is real and currently under threat, unstable, and wavering on the brink.
The newest work is the threatened bird species, and it's a project called Pink Noise. And I wanted to do portraits of the most threatened birds of North America using their own voices, using the sound waves of their own voices. And I was really moved by a piece that I heard from the Cornell Institute where they played the last calls of a certain species, of a male of a certain species, calling out for the female. And the female was non-existent anymore. So it just was so poignant and moving and gut-wrenching to hear these calls of this male. So it got me really interested in the calls and the vocalizations of birds. And so I started studying them and learning about them and using them as visual, like almost hieroglyphic patterns, almost like hieroglyphic patterns, and piecing them together using the actual colors of the birds within those so-called portraits.
You work with sound, but you work in other mediums. Tell me about the choices you make regarding that.
Well, I think each project and each piece begs its own form. I am a photographer, and photographic medium is where I began. I actually began in doing more other kinds of fine arts, but got led into photography and film, depending on the project. So the bird project, of course, begged sound, and I had not done a sound piece before, so I collaborated with an artist named Walter Kitundu, who is an amazing artist who I met recently, who helped me piece together these recordings that I downloaded from the Cornell site. And I was interested in even the voiceovers of the recording of the person who recorded it in the 1950s of the whooping crane. So hearing that voice, even the human voice, is a relic. The recording is a relic. It was recorded before I was born. It's just talks to me about the indirect experiences of nature. Like, we can't always experience nature firsthand, but we have to go to these documents to experience it.
You're not simply going into nature and taking a photograph and slapping it up on the wall. Tell me about the work that you do in your studio with crafting the photographs into your vision.
Well, I've always worked quite liberally with color and light in the traditional darkroom, in the traditional color darkroom or black and white darkroom that's in my basement. So I've always continued working very intuitively with color. And so when I add color or work with color, it comes often from memory or thinking about memory and how do we remember certain images. So often the time lapse between when I take the picture and make the picture and our thinking about that picture is what informs the final outcome, which could either be a totally straight photograph as captured, or it could be a totally different photograph than as captured. So I love printing. So the printing process for me is a very experimental process. So I might add a certain percent of magenta or yellow or green, or it's very much kind of working in the printing process in adding. I don't manipulate the image, but I work with color and light sometimes. I love crafting a beautiful print. I mean, that's what was kind of tricky with the fabric pieces, which are new pieces in this show that I haven't done before, which was very exciting to try a new media printing on, but I didn't have the control that I'm used to having. So I had to kind of give way to the inherent properties of the media, like the silk that has movement, and which was relevant to the movement of the bird, and the silken fabric made sense to work with the bird call pieces on the silk, but it wasn't as precise as I could get with paper, so I just had to accept that. Sometimes you have to, you know, bow down to the media and follow its lead.
So you're creating artwork, but you're not just creating something to be interesting or beautiful to hang on a wall. You're wanting to touch people in a way that's related to the environment and how they could feel and view it and maybe even be activated in some way, shape, or form. So what impact do you hope to have on gallery visitors with your work?
Well, I do hope that people become more aware of the fragility and the vulnerability of our natural lands. I also hope that it inspires people to go out and enjoy them and participate and protect and raise their voices when things, there's not a day or an hour that an email doesn't come in telling me about a new protected land that's being threatened right now. And especially in our situation, in our political situation right now, it's so precarious. And if people don't get up and use their voices and act and say things, and I don't know how we're going to be able to turn around. And it would be such a shame to lose it just makes me deeply sad to think of what we could lose.
So you have a thread. This thread is going to be following through in all your work. You may try a different medium. You might try, trees. You might be focusing on trees here or birds here or whatever. But this theme of the environment is a thread through all of your artwork. And do you see that as continuing into the future?
I think that it's always, even going back to some of my earliest work, I think it's spoken to, I'm thinking of a piece I made in the 90s called Acid Poppy, and I was thinking about acid rain and imaging the poppy in a way that kind of was acidic, and thinking about different pollutants that can get into our bodies. And I was making images using medical imaging technology of the interior of the body. And this kind of circles back. Like, I did abstract portraits of people using MRI scans and PET scans. And I did a piece called Radioactive Mother that was my mother with cancer and how she would become radioactive when they would do the PET scan and inject her with radioactive dye. And so I made portraits of her going through that process, which were just abstract, almost hieroglyphical medical images, but again, an abstract portrait, like the birds are abstract portraits. So I think as an artist, often we do approach, it's all coming back to the same main idea, but we just go at it from different angles all the time, and then sometimes it comes full circle, and I think the work I'm doing now definitely harkens back.
How do you feel about the fact that your work is appealing cross-discipline because of all these people from biology and here to enjoy your work?
That's dreamy. That's wonderful. I love that. I'm very thrilled to know that. So, and I could use a lot of knowledge that they have, so I love collaborating, so it would be great to, I'm looking forward to speaking with them about it and learning from their expertise, and you need the expertise of other fields to bring the depth to the works.
That's artist Alice Hargrave. Her exhibition, Paradise Wavering, continues at the University Galleries in Uptown Normal, now through October 8th. I'm Laura Kennedy.